This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello there, my very good friends. Andy Murray here for What Culture Wrestling with an impromptu What Went Down at Backlash France here. Wasn't going to do one of these, but the show was a lot of fun, so I thought I would jump on the camera, set the light up, and talk about Backlash a little bit. What went down? It's not one of those shows where we break every single move down and every single sequence and give in-depth reviews and stuff like that. For that, you can tune into Ups and Downs with Simon Miller tomorrow or the What Culture Wrestling podcast on Monday with the Dadley Boys, where they'll probably talk for like 2 hours or whatever. I'm going to tell you the main important beats of the show, the most important talking points, what they mean and how they felt in the moment. The big key points, all of that stuff. Spoilers all over the place, by the way. I don't know why you'd watch this before watching the show if you don't want to know the results, but you probably shouldn't do that, so this is your warning to jump out of here if you don't want Backlash totally ruined for you. But if you've seen the show, let's kick things off. Let's go through the opener with the Bloodline, the new Bloodline, Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga defeating Kevin Owens and Randy Orton in an insane plunder match. This started off as just a regulation tag match, or that's what it was intended to be, but the match couldn't actually get started because these gentlemen just couldn't stop brawling with each other, the rapscallions. That led to Nick Aldis coming down the ring. You know, there was security people getting beaten up, referees getting beaten up. He couldn't control it. So Nick Aldis said, hey, let's make this a street fight. And for me, that made the match a lot better. It allowed these guys to go completely insane with the plunder spots. Kevin Owens in particular just looked like the crowd in particular for him seemed like it was like getting a jolt of diesel to his veins. He went completely insane throughout all of this. And the Bloodline won, as they should have, thanks to an interference from their new member, not Jacob Fatu, Tangaloa, who is Tama Tonga's brother. He came into the ring and he pulled the referee out just when it looked like KO. He didn't come into the ring. He came into ringside. He pulled KO out just when it looked like he had it won. And this allowed Solo to end things with a Uranagi onto a chair and then the Samoan spike on Owens for the win. So there you go. Tama Tonga has been joined by his brother Tangaloa, the former Camacho in WWE, lest we forget. And the new Bloodline is growing. It's taking an even bigger form here. It was Solo, it was Tama, it was Tanga in the ring afterwards, all together as one. You know, I had no idea that Tangaloa was even leaving New Japan, so this is a pretty unexpected ship jumping, a very funny one as well, particularly if you've seen Tangaloa's recent work. Look at his strikes against Kazuchika Okada earlier this year. Look them up. You'll have fun if you've not seen them. But this was a really great match, a really fun way to open the show. Everyone worked incredibly hard throughout. I had a great time with it. Did you have a great time with it? Let me know in the comment section below and tell us all what you think of the Bloodline stuff as well. Are you into it? Are you looking forward to seeing Jacob Fatu added as well, maybe? Some more from those guys later in the event as well, however. Second match of the show was the WWE Women's Championship match with Bayley successfully defeating Naomi and Tiffany Stratton in a triple threat match. This had some rough moments early on, but, you know, there was more than enough that was good to completely outweigh that. And it was Bayley retaining the belt. She didn't pin Tiffany. She pinned Naomi after reversing a cradle and scoring the pinfall. I think the big talking point here is not necessarily the result, but probably Tiffany Stratton's performance. She was really excellent, and you know, to stand out and be the biggest standout performer in a match that has Bayley in it, in a title scenario, says a lot for a young wrestler who's had, what, less than 100 matches in her career? I've not looked at her cage match. Someone can correct me if that's off the base. But Tiffany looked excellent and kind of reaffirmed her position as the future of this division. I think she'll probably hold this championship before the end of the year. She should probably just dethrone Bayley in a month or something. I don't necessarily think that would be a bad idea at all. I mean, she's clearly got what it takes to carry a division already at this stage in her career. Yes, winning Money in the Bank is a pretty compelling option for her as well. But I think one of the flaws of, and not just Paul Levesque actually, Tony Khan as well, both major mainstream American bookers are a little slow when it comes to pushing red hot prospects. Sometimes they play the patient game, and more often than not that pays off. But sometimes it would just be cool to see a rocket get strapped to someone, you know, and just throw them all the way to the top of the pile, see how they do. I think Tiffany Stratton's got it, but yeah, good match. This was a really good show across the board. Very, very little to complain about. After this match, there was a little bit of a backstage confrontation. Jey Uso was backstage getting ready for his World Heavyweight title match with Damian Priest when the Bloodline walked past him. They all eyeballed him. Tangaloa, Tama Tonga, Solo Sikoa, I can't say words tonight, and Paul Heyman, suggesting that sooner rather than later, we are going to get that Bloodline collision. I imagine when Jimmy returns to TV, Roman will return at some point, obviously. Get Sami Zayn involved at some stage. We'll see if Jacob Fatu debuts. We'll see whenever the heck The Rock comes back, whenever he's finished up on his pissing in water bottle duties or whatever. Silly sausage. But after that segment, we rolled into the World Heavyweight title match. This was Damian Priest successfully defending against Jey Uso. He won with a top rope South of Heaven chokeslam, planting him in the mat. The crowd just went completely silent after that. They were like, oh, that's a bummer. Not from a, hey, that's a crap result, but more, really wanted the babyface to win. I think in this match, Jey continued the Bad Bunny tradition of last year of having the best ring entrance of the year on Backlash. The yeet and all the arms and everything, it was crazy in Lyon. And this crowd was unbelievable throughout the night. I'll talk about them a little bit more later on in the video in general. But this was a solid match. There was a lot of interferency stuff with JD McDonagh and Finn Balor getting involved. Damian Priest was, of course, upset with this. This has been his current direction. He doesn't want the interferences from the Judgment Day, but they keep on doing it, and that creates tension. At one point, I'm pretty sure Damian Priest shouted at JD for having a massive head, he has a massive head. What more do you want from this gentleman? But the development after the bell was Damian getting right in the Judgment Day's faces. He just grabbed Finn Balor by the throat like that. It was really aggressive, really ugly stuff. So the tension in the Judgment Day rolls on. You'd imagine at some point we're getting Finn versus Damian, maybe for the belt if Drew McIntyre doesn't take it away from him first, which he should do in Scotland, because that'd be really cool. But yeah, this was a good match. Definitely helped by the smoke and mirrors and the wider Judgment Day storyline. Jey Uso is such a weird wrestler, a weird singles wrestler. He has this incredible crowd connection, but his singles matches aren't always matched up to that quality-wise. The Gunther match was obviously great. This was really good as well. But he's one of my favorites because of that. Sometimes all you need is a red-hot crowd connection. Everything else just becomes secondary to that if you have that strong a connection with your audience. After this, one of the French commentators announced quite impressively that this was the highest grossing WWE arena show ever, which, hey, look, if you're into popping for that kind of thing, so celebrate away, I guess. Huge business success. It does mean that with there being 11,000 people in that building, roughly, I think the record was around $3 million for an arena show prior to this. That must mean the average ticket price was about $300-ish. That's pretty brutal if you're a consumer, but hey, the people in the building didn't seem to mind. They were in fine form throughout, so they're clearly not annoyed with the money they've spent. They had a great time.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Before we go any further, though, this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, we all carry around different stressors. They can be big life worries or just, you know, little things like your favorite wrestler not being used properly. The thing is, when we keep them bottled up, it really can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down. It is really helpful too for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. Therapy basically empowers you to be the best version of yourself. So why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and best of all, suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/whatculture today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/whatculture.
Next match of the night, the Women's Tag Team Championship match. It was Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill defeating the Kabuki Warriors, Kairi Sane and Asuka, to win the belts, ending the Kabuki Warriors' reign. This match, at various points, was a hot mess, but boy, was it fun. I mean, there were periods in this thing where it genuinely looked like people had forgotten their spots and forgotten what was coming next, and there were bits where it was a lot of looking around and going, hey, what's going on? The most notable one of that was when Kairi went for a pinfall. The referee told her that she wasn't legal, so she couldn't make the pinfall. But despite this, despite Asuka being legal, Asuka stood on the outside. She grabbed the tag rope and she tagged Kairi. It was incredibly weird and probably not helped by the language barrier, perhaps. And that's where the most of the, oh my goodness, what are we doing phase of it came from. But despite that, that's not necessarily to say it lessened my viewing experience. I thought this was a ton of fun. Sometimes a little bit of chaos is what I need in wrestling. You know, when everything is perfectly in sync and perfectly smooth and clean and crisp and all of this stuff, it just gets a little clinical. This was chaos in a lot of places, but there were some absolutely mesmerizing sequences towards the end. And to cap it all off, we had Bianca Belair hitting a KOD on Asuka onto Kairi and then pinning Kairi to get the win and win the belts. It was a fun time across the board, and this is how they are choosing to present Jade at the moment as a tag team wrestler. It's probably smart if they feel she is still developing in the ring, which she clearly is. She had a long time obviously at the Performance Center before debuting fully, and I think it's a smart approach with her. I think her aura and her presence transcend any concerns you might have, and she's off to a good start here in WWE for sure. After this, we had the main event, which was Cody Rhodes. What, the crowd for this was just completely bananas. But Cody Rhodes defeating AJ Styles to retain the undisputed WWE Championship, Universal, whatever, however many words are in this blooming name at the moment. Look, this was outstanding. This was an excellent WWE-styled main event. With great intensity from both men, they just looked completely amped to be performing from a crowd that was this loud and energized. I think definitely the go-home segment on SmackDown helped build the chemistry between these two, but in the ring, they were just dynamic. I mean, AJ Styles, bless him, hasn't had a performance of this caliber in years and years and years. Probably the pandemic era Daniel Bryan match, the Intercontinental title match that went about 30 minutes. That's the last one I can kind of think of. But he's obviously, he's in very impressive shape eating that horse meat for the past couple of months. And him and Cody put on just a mesmerizing match. I mean, the crowd, let's talk about the crowd a little bit. They were incredible throughout the show. But in this match in particular, oh my goodness. They were so connected to everything. I mean, they were literally reading Samantha Irvin's ring announcements with her, like every word, weighing in at. They were just parroting it. Incredible. They had this chant going on through the whole thing. I don't know what it was. Somebody fill me in, some French speaker perhaps, fill me in on what the chant they kept going back to throughout this was. But all through the show, we had this un, deux, simplement deux. Whenever someone kicked out a two, that just caught on with me in a big way, and now I kind of want that on every show, even if it's in New Jersey. Why the hell not? Let's do it. Just copy this crowd. They were incredible. Yeah, I've been watching this stuff since 1992, when I was 5 years old. That's a long time. This might be the best wrestling crowd I've ever heard. It's certainly in the conversation. I'd need to have a deeper think about it. But they helped raise this to a different level, and you could totally tell that AJ and Cody were both feeding off of it. I mean, they were intense. They were complete freakery, that's a new word, was just abound throughout this thing. It was really quite outlandish and quite silly and quite spectacular. Incredible drama with the kickouts. Just fire all over the place. I mean, kicking out of a burning hammer at one, it's a bit excessive, I'm not going to lie. But if you have fun with it, who cares, right? Cody Rhodes retaining the belt in his first match as champion, his first defense with the belt. No tomfoolery afterwards. No shenanigans. He wasn't attacked. Nobody emerged as his next challenger. There was no BS. No pouring cold water on a hot moment and sending people home sad. He just won. And that's a good way to move on to whatever's going to be next for him. I think that AJ turned out to be an excellent option for this cycle, for this 1 month cycle, assuming there isn't a rematch between these two, because they didn't really leave anything open for that. They might still go down that route. But obviously, King of the Ring's on the horizon now. And at one point on the show, we had these just insane announcements. I think Raw, for goodness sake, has Sheamus versus Gunther, Ricochet versus Ilya Dragunov, Finn Balor versus Drew McIntyre, and a bunch of other cool stuff that I'm forgetting about. It's completely insane. So this was a good night. This was a good show. I think that the crowd were the MVPs of the whole thing. Match of the night for me was the main event. But the most fun I had was actually the women's tag match. It was just wild and really chaotic in a way that I really appreciate. We got a new Bloodline member in Tangaloa. We got, you know, the new women's tag team champions. That's the only title change of the night, but hey, that's all right. And for a card that looked maybe a little bit mid on paper, this really over-delivered. This was a really fun time. Also, it wasn't that long. I think it came in at about 3 hours in total, the show. And you know, like, taking the raw length of a show and going, hey, that's too long, like 5 hours or whatever, is a bit disingenuous. But oftentimes when WWE have a five match show, it might extend towards 4 hours because they pack it so much with ads and things for Peacock and like tourist stuff, like, hey, visit Leon, it's beautiful and it's got a river and stuff, and they'll just fill the show that way. And when you watch it live, it can be a bit of a slog. That definitely wasn't the case here. So more of this. This was really well-paced, actually. Hats off to them. Up next is King and Queen of the Ring. We're going to get that cycle. Hopefully the television is of a good standard. And we can build towards something cool. Because the past couple of weeks, WWE programming may be a bit stale. But this definitely felt like a writing of the course. SmackDown was good this week as well. So, hey, they're on a good run. That was a good show. And you are a good viewer. Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more.
and is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.